Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Real LGBT Lives. How are you? Hope everyone is doing well. Well, I'm here. This is Mojisola Percy of the African LGBTQ, and the show is called The Real LGBT Lives, and I'm sitting here with my co-host.
Hi, it's great to be here again, Moji. Thank you for having me. I think this is going to be a really exciting show. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, the show is actually called Homosexuality, We Are All Confused. Homosexuality for a long time had been something that was under the rugs for hundreds and hundreds of years. And in the past, I think 50 years or so, homosexuals like my wife and I are actually recognized in a lot of the parts of the world. And yes, there's discrimination. But as the conversation has been going on around lately about the African homosexuals and such, the question arose, are we actually discriminating within our own community without even realizing it? So we thought we'll bring it to the table today and have a conversation about it. So I'm going to ask you start, if that's okay with you, Coco. You start.
You know, I think part of the reason why, you know, we thought about this show is because generally, if you think about the whole sexuality spectrum, it's pretty much been divided into two categories. You have, you know, heterosexuals, you have a heteronormative world, and you have really non-heterosexuals. And I think part of the challenge is that a lot of this has been focused on the sex and sexuality in the words, but it's broader than that. And it's easy for us to point fingers at the heterosexual or the heteronormative community and, you know, blame them for excluding us. But, you know, I do think that as we've sort of talked about this and thought through it, we are accountable for a lot of the confusion and the misunderstanding and the misperception that occurs in the homosexual or the LGBTQIA community. And so I think it's, before we, so to speak, set out to solve the problems in the broader world, I think we should hold ourselves accountable. And have we indeed messaged our mission correctly, or are we part of the problem?
When you say, are we part of the problem? I mean, part of the biggest problem is that we have so many different definitions, so many different categories, so many different labels. It's now where it used to be the LGBTQ. Now it's I, there's A, there's all kinds of other letters that they've come up with. And it's even more confusing for us, I believe, in the community than it is for the people on the outside, because if we don't get it ourselves, then how do we expect the heterosexual community to understand it?
You make a good point, right? But I think that what we really need to do is, let's think about the word homophobia, right? This is homosexuality and homophobia. And I do remember on a show a couple of episodes ago, a gentleman called in and we were talking about the definition of homophobia as fear of homosexuality. And if you think about the climate out in the heterosexual world, I don't know that there's really a fear of homosexuals or a fear of homosexuality. You know, there might be some people who are bigoted, who quote unquote dislike and hate homosexuals or misunderstand homosexuals. But when we think about the fear of homosexuality, I think that that fear actually is greater within the homosexual community. Within the LGBT community, that is where I sense the greatest fear. And I think the greatest fear is actually fear of ourselves. When you think of the fact that, you know, people are reluctant to come out of the closet, people are reluctant to broach the topic, even within the community, it's really fear. And I think the greatest fear is within the community, not without.
I'm kind of perplexed because you just said the greatest fear is coming out of the closet. But I see more and more people coming out because as time evolves, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, of course, it was very difficult to come out. I see a lot more people coming out these days, but the thing that really bothers me the most is that a lot of people come from countries where homosexuals are what is considered illegal, for lack of better words, or an abomination and whatnot. And they come to a country like the US and they're allowed to be who they are, they're allowed to be free, and yet still choose to be in the closet. I don't think it's because of homophobia. I believe that it's because of the, it's a fear, all right, but it's a fear of the way people would receive them, the way people would treat them, and the fear of losing their family. I don't think it's homophobia.
Phobia is a fear,
but it's not a homophobia.
So, you know, I think, okay, so let's imagine, we don't even need to imagine a world. In America, same-sex marriage is illegal. Homosexuality is legal.
Mm-hmm.
You're rarely going to lose your job because you're homosexual. And yet people still don't come out.
Are they not coming out because they're afraid of being a homosexual, or are they not coming out because of the fear? Because they're not, I don't know if homosexuals can have homophobia. I'm not sure that's possible.
So let's talk about the dynamics that occur then within the LGBTQ community. And if you look within the community, there are actually gay people who don't want to associate with other gay people because they are quote unquote too gay. You find that both ways. There are, whether we like it or not, within the LGBT community, there are people who pass. You know, we were having a conversation the other day about white privilege,
mm-hmm.
and how white privilege exists. And yet, you know, several members of the white community refuse to accept that there is white privilege, that there are privileges that come with just being white. Within the LGBT community, I would posit that there are privileges that come with looking straight.
Well, of course there are privileges. I'm a what is considered a feminine lesbian, which means I look straight, I dress straight, I wear my hair long, I wear makeup, I do my nails and all that stuff. So when I walk out the door, nobody can peg me as a lesbian unless I tell them I am a lesbian. Without me saying that I am a lesbian, most people just assume that I am straight. So of course there's privileges that come with it. But these are privileges that are out there in society. It's not something that we femmes beg for. It's not something that we femmes try to get away with. Actually, majority of us find it insulting because people just assume that we are straight. So, I mean, the fact that we are born the fact that I am born a little bit more feminine than someone like, you know, that's a butch is not a choice. It's something that it just is. So, people associating with a guy that's absolutely flaming, as they say, flaming queen, or not flaming queen, in most cases, it's not a fair of being seen as being gay or being seen as being a gay lover, whatever the case is. For me, as a lesbian woman, that happens to look like what society considers a feminine woman. It's just, it is what it is.
And you're absolutely correct. And we've heard that argument from, you know, Caucasians forever. It's not their fault they're white, right? And they don't drive the difference, but the privilege exists. So the question becomes, and to your point, that's exactly the same point you're making, but how do we deal with the fact that within the same community, there are members of the gay community, male and female, who cannot pass? Right? And there are people within the gay community who choose not to associate with those who cannot pass because that certainly will out them even further.
Right.
And I think I don't have the answers. I don't think anybody has the answers. I'm not, you know, taking the position that any one piece is right or wrong. But I do think that, you know, we're at the point where we need to explore these fears. You have, because those fears are real and they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that, you know, we talk about them enough.
So basically you're saying, I mean, what I hear you saying, is that we need to talk about the fact that there are some groups of people in our community that would not associate with people that look gay because it would out them. Yes, I believe that. But majority of the people that are walking around proud to be who they are don't have those issues. There's a lot of white people, if I may use the white analogy again, is that there's a lot of white people that are out there that are born white, not by choice, but because by just sheer coincidence. And they don't believe, they don't believe in discrimination. They don't believe in a lot of the things that were believed in hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But we can't bulk everybody into the same bucket and say, hey, because they're white, they are this or they are that. It's very important that we know a person that's obviously in the closet is not going to walk, a femme that's in the closet is not going to walk around with a butch. She'll be more, probably more inclined to go towards somebody that's like a soft butch that could pass when she's out there. But the issue is not the fact that she doesn't like lesbians or gay people. The issue is the fact that she's got issues with her own self, isn't it?
I would say that's where we talk about fear of our own sexuality.
So,
and that's, you know, fear of sexuality. You know, that's where we begin to play with the whole phobia concept. You know, I think that there are levels within the LGBTQ community, different levels of discrimination. And therefore, we cannot lump everyone into one huge bucket. I think that we need to explore that. We need to explore the attitudes of, you know, gay men and lesbians towards transgendered persons. We rarely ever talk about the intersex. So how does that make, you know, the intersex amongst us feel? And forget the asexuals, people barely mention them. So I think we labor under this great big misconception that, you know, gay is this large big umbrella. And we don't truly explore the different fears, the different, you know, elements of discrimination that play out differently depending on which category one belongs to. And I do think that we may unintentionally discriminate about those categories. Think about the terms we use, a flaming queen. And we use that. Think about what we use. We talk about, you know, even the term AG, you know, which is aggressive. In any other social circumstance, if a woman or a man was called aggressive, that would be insulting. And yet we use those terms freely within the gay community and feel we have the right to turn around and point to a heterosexual and say he's homophobic. And those are the subtle issues that I think we need to talk about.
Well, I think a lot of the things that's going on in this modern day homosexual world, we're redefining a lot of things as the concept and acceptance of homosexuality is being accepted all over the world. So now we're understanding that we're not all the same. A butch's experience is totally different from a femme's experience. A femme's experience is different from an asexual, like you said. And then you've got the transgenders that are really, really just about to, that are just coming out of, I won't even say the closet, I'll say the basement. And for them, it's a whole different experience as human beings. The way they're treated, the respect they get or do not get. The fact that we have, as a people, have to debate the fact that a trans man should be allowed to go into a men's bathroom or a trans woman should be allowed to go into a woman's bathroom does not even make any sense. But that's where we are in the world at the moment. As things evolve, as things are changing, I don't know, I'm fairly new into the gay community. And what I'm realizing is that even though society tells us one thing, it's going to be very hard to change the mindset of people, of humans, because, I mean, this is something that's been under the cover for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's really unfortunate that I walk around with my wife that, you know, a book, and people give us funny looks and all that stuff, and I fight the battle. I found myself in a shop yesterday, not looking at a person properly, assuming just from the dressing that the person is a guy, not even paying attention. A lot of times when you're walking around with certain people in the in our community, you know, they become, you don't really see them. You don't really see them. And that was shocking because I turned around and said, sir. And as I was saying the sir, it hit me that it was a woman. If I, married to a butch woman, can do that, imagine what it's like for the rest of the community, of our community. You know, because it's the whole acceptance thing is a new thing. So yes, we need to talk about it. We need to speak to people and hear their experiences. While we're on that note, I have a 201-8065 person online. Good afternoon and welcome to The Real LGBT Lives. May I ask who you are? Okay, you're shy. I'm going to keep you on. Put your phone on mute. I can hear you chuckling as well. So I'm going to put you on mute. I'll put your phone on mute so you can hear the conversation. And whenever you're ready to come in, let me know. All right? So anyways, today, for all the listeners out there, we're talking about homosexuality. We are all confused. And the reason why we're talking about this is because, you know, it's something that needs to be brought to the forefront. I'm going to put you on mute, caller. Would you like to join us in the conversation? I'm going to ask you to put yourself on mute. That way we don't get the back end interference. Thank you. But anyway, like I was saying, one of the things, the whole concept, the whole lifestyle is becoming very confusing. We now have ages, we have soft butch, we have aggressive is a word that we're trying to push out of I'm trying to push out of my language. But when I came out 10 years ago, women were called butchies or they were called dykes or they were called whatever it is that they're called. Now we are being told that, you know, the more masculine looking, feeling type women don't appreciate the word AG, aggressive, because they're not aggressive. They're not peoples. I mean, they're, you know, they are butchies, and that's the definition that people are a lot more comfortable with. But it's going to take time, I mean, to change our mindset as a people, as a homosexual community, because our experiences are all the same. No two people, no two friends are the same. I'm a lot more, I was going to use the word aggressive again. I'm a lot more aggressive than the average feminine woman. I'm very assertive is the word I like to use because I don't like the word aggressive either, because aggressive makes me feel like people think I'm angry or I just want to fight with people all the time. But I'm a lot more assertive. I'm what is called a hard femme, and that's where the labeling gets confusing, because I don't think for me, I don't believe anyways that it's just confusing. There's just too many labels out there.
So again, I'm going to come back and say, who created those labels? Trust me, it wasn't heterosexuals. We did. And why do people need labels?
Exactly.
People need labels to create categories. Why do we need categories? Categories call out differences, and differences drive discrimination.
Yep.
So again, when we point towards the heterosexual community, there are feminine-looking men who are straight as arrows. You don't find anybody saying, oh, he's a femme heterosexual man. It just doesn't happen. They don't categorize themselves based on those subtle differences in the way one chooses to express oneself. And so, again, I bring it back to us. It is all well and good to point the finger at someone else, but we need to take a look internally and truly figure out the way we feel about each other. And I don't think we've done that.
So, okay. In every society, straight, cucred, bisexual, trisexual, any kind of sexual, there's got to be a way to quantify people, unfortunately. There's got to be a way, even though we don't like labels, there's got to be a way, a descriptive word. When you're dealing with somebody that's like polyamorous or polygamous or whatever in the street world, they have their own labels. They have their own labels for pretty much everything. And I think part of the problem is that we are just defining who we are. It's like black people when they first came out. And I use the word come out because when they were first liberated, they were called Negroes. by the slave masters. And then they became blacks or niggers, and then they became blacks. And now they call themselves African Americans. But as time goes on, I believe that we all will find our own footing, we'll find our own place, we'll find our own language that fits each and every one of us. Once again, no two butches are the same. No two femmes are the same. We have soft butches, we have hard butches, we have dykes. I mean, those are like the old school lesbians that thought to be a gay person, to be a gay woman, you had to be grabbing your crotch. And back in those days, you had to sound like a man because that's all they had to emulate. That's how all they had, that was their only reference point at that time. It was male-female relationships, at least out in the open. I don't know, under the closet, in the basement. I don't know how it worked. But the only people they had to emulate was a straight man or a straight woman. There was no in-between. So now if you feel any different from being a feminine lesbian, the only reference point was always a man. So they felt they had to bring the money home, they had to sit at the table, they're not cleaning, and oh no, don't touch me. That was way back then. As time evolved and people became more comfortable in their skin, the labels will continue to started to change. And as time evolves and we continue to dialogue amongst ourselves, I believe that the labels will change. How do we get there is the question. That's where we are. I am at this point, because it's really sad that no matter what, society will always have a label. That's unfortunate. That's the way the world is. But in our community ourselves, which we look, one of my biggest problems when I started dating women was I could not figure out where I belonged on the spectrum. Because here I am, I love my 4-inch heels, I love my Charles Jourdan shoes, I love my lipstick, I love my nails, but I'm a lumberjack chick sometimes as well. So now, who am I? What am I attracted to? Who do I date? I like women that know that they're women. I don't, you know, I also like a woman with a male energy, but what are they, where do I find them? Am I even allowed to go that route? Very often in the past, when femmes approached me, I would always say, I'm not sharing my shoes and handbags. That's the only way I, Moji, knew how to describe what I knew I didn't want. But basically what I was looking for was that energy. And because there's no name for it, I would always say, oh no. And then at one point, before I even realized that I liked butches, I never even knew I liked it. I thought, oh, you know, a butch was a woman that thought she was a man. That's all I knew about them. So until we in our community start to spend time to discover each other, to communicate, to talk, to have conversations, open conversations with each other, so we can realize that it's not called a rainbow because of the colors. It's called a rainbow because there's so many, as far as I'm concerned, it's called a rainbow because there's so many different, if I may use the word, colors of people. There are different types of people in this community. It's not black or white or gray. I think we're going to continue to have a problem.
I mean, you make a good point. You do make several good points, actually. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, this is really about having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sat back and listened to you, what's wrong with, you know, wearing 4-inch heels with a lumberjack belt? Ultimately, at the end of the day, how we choose to express ourselves should be about what makes us comfortable. But I think too often we feel the need to place a label on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The best way I think about gender expression is like music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm black does not necessarily mean the music I listen to must always fit into the rap category. Or the R&B category. I hear music. I like it. I identify with it. Our gender expression should be like that. We should begin to feel free to express ourselves as is. Who you are subsequently attracted to should just happen.
Right.
And I think the fact that we are creating labels, seeking labels, and wanting to put ourselves in a box with a label is, again, part of the problem. And I will say The heterosexuals aren't asking us to do that.
No, not at all.
We within the community, for some reason, feel that that's necessary.
But do you remember that there was a time? Do you remember there was a time? Of course you do. But I'm sure that a lot of people, listeners out there that are in the LGBTQ community, will remember there was a time that femmes were not ever allowed to go out with femmes. You know, feminine guys were not allowed to go out with feminine guys, and butches were not allowed to go out with butches. I could never understand that, because it's like, look, if I'm attracted to a person, I'm attracted to their spirit and not the packaging. And I'm a great example, a huge example of what happens when you chuck away the box that people have put us all into. And the reason I say that is, when I met my wife, we started communicating. I had no clue what she looked like. She, you know, her Facebook page had absolutely no pictures. I would call her on Facebook Live or Skype or whatever, and I didn't see her. And I fell in love with the spirit and not the packaging. And God forbid, I don't even know, because I'd always said I'm not dating a butch. I dated a soft butch, but I never dated a real butch. A person that really looks butch. You know, they might in their head think they're butch, but they kind of said a cool pass, who could walk into a restaurant. And I'm not sure if it was because I was afraid of being labeled a lesbian. It was just what I thought I was attracted to, because in my head, if I want to be with a woman, I want to be with a woman, not a woman that thinks she's a man. And that's a huge difference. Just because a woman looks a particular way or dresses a particular way does not mean that they want to be a man. So if I had said, you know, if I had seen the picture and I'd been like, oh no, I can't do this, then I would not be married today. But the way the universe worked it out was that I could not see. I didn't see the picture. I didn't see the packaging. All I got to do was speak to a person that I connected with on so many levels that was not a superficial level. And by the time I actually got to see her in person, I was already in love with that spirit. I was in love with the pack. I mean, so that when I saw the packaging and it was absolutely stunning, and of course a bit more masculine than I am, I was actually very grateful to be able to fall in love with the person without seeing the packaging. One of the things I said to a friend of mine was, imagine if we were all blind and we couldn't see the packaging and we just had to work with a person's spirit and their energy, as opposed to, oh, that person is this or that person is that. What an amazing world we really would live in, isn't it? Here we go, again, me living in the clouds, Abby.
Not really, and I'm glad you brought up the question of imagine we were all blind. I don't think it's imagination. Now, I hate to keep drawing a corollary between this and the race issue, but in my mind, one of the benefits of history and the benefits of any movement is that we leverage our experiences and learnings from that into the future. The ultimate solution to racism would be if everyone were colorblind.
I know, right?
Right? So it's really not a question of imagining. I think that's really the vantage point from which we should appreciate, from which we should discuss this. The bottom line, and if we're going to be real, and we're going to be, you know, just real, people had a problem with two femmes dating each other. They had a problem with two straight-looking men dating each other.
Yeah.
And we in the gay LGBT community have that problem. You know why? Because in the majority of the cases, those people were trying to pass. That is just the blunt reality. Now people are more open to it because passing is not really fashionable right now. Right now, you just stay in the closet or come out. But, you know, the whole passing thing is a bit distasteful. But in those days, you talked about the old school, you know, we ride on the backs of people who fought this fight at the literally at the expense of their lives, their jobs, their livelihood, everything. They went before us. And the reality is that there were people who were trying to pass. And what you saw in terms of people looking at femme-femme relationships and two straight-looking men looking together was, this is just a cop-out. You're not helping the movement. And I think that's where that came from. I still think we need to address that issue. We cannot deny that there is straight privilege in the LGBTQ community. And I think that we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge each other's pain in order to move forward. But we cannot continue to pretend that the struggle is the same for everyone.
I don't think, I'm not sitting here saying that the struggle is the same for everyone. I would never say that. It's like a light-skinned person gets a lot more privileged than a dark-skinned person. It happens in Nigeria, it happens in Africa, it happens all over the world. And it's a very subconscious thing. It's a very subliminal thing. I mean, no matter what we do, it will always be there. Now, let's take it out of the hetero world and bring it back into our world. Why do we discriminate against each other? Why do femmes not understand the pain? Because I have my pain coming out of the closet. I lost my family. Those are things that we have in common, you know. But then a butcher man walking down the block and everyone is looking and staring at her. It's like she has a label that says, hey, I'm gay on her chest 24/7. I can never, ever understand her pain. It's not because I don't want to. It's because I cannot feel what she feels in her skin. I can empathize. I can sympathize. There's a lot of things I can do. I can fight the battle. But I will never be that person, that gay woman that walks around with a label, I am gay, just from the way she looks or the way she dresses. And, you know, one of the things that I've always said is our costume does not make us who we are. It never does. Just because a woman wears a Tim's, you know, 24/7. Even when I wear Tim's, they've got high heels on them. Thank God they now make them like that. But I can't. It's impossible. So is it because, it's not because people choose not to understand or empathize. It's because there's certain things you only a person that's walking in those shoes will ever be able to understand.
I think from a solution standpoint, a couple of things. We need to recognize that our experiences are different.
Yeah.
We need to leverage our shared experiences because there is shared pain,
mm-hmm.
right? There is shared pain. That's one. I think we need to acknowledge the differences, have these conversations, bring them out into the open.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of finger pointing at the other. I don't think that within the LGBTQ community, we've taken accountability for our own internal discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to draw a corollary with Christianity. Everybody who's a Christian, we have a shared focus. But then you look at the discord within Christianity, mm-hmm. the multiple denominations, the fights that occur, and that is because we don't celebrate our differences. We use those differences to divide us.
Yes.
And I think the point I want to make is it's really easy to say homophobia and look at the heterosexuals, to point a finger to the heterosexual community. But if we within the LGBTQ community are not willing to acknowledge that we can also and are also in certain circumstances homophobic, if we refuse to address that, to discuss it, to feel each other's pain, how dare we expect to take this into the heterosexual world?
I totally hear you and I understand what you're saying, but part of reducing the issues and the problems that we have in the community is by communicating our pain, talking about our stories, telling our stories. The more we share our stories, the more we share our walk with the hetero world, within our community, we'll find that there's a lot more similarities than differences. Look, I have the privilege of knowing a beautiful young lady called Seng. She lives in New Jersey, and I met her a few years ago, about 10, 15 years ago. And I see she's a transgender. She posted a picture last week of herself, 12 years old. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous. You could clearly see that this person was a female, even though she was in boy clothing. But I can assure you that her walk, even in the gay community, in the LGBT community, we still have a problem with a trans man dating dating a lesbian. We have a problem with a trans woman dating a gay man. We have a problem with the choices that people make for themselves to suit their lives, to suit their spirits. I think it's a human issue. You know, you would think that because we've all suffered, we've all been discriminated against, that we do not discriminate against other people in our community. But I find more discrimination in our community than actually in the outside community. You know, it's like wherever you go, there's going to be discrimination. But I think the more transgender people that step up and say, hey, this was my walk, this was my pain, this is the obstacles I face each and every day, I think we'll create a bit more empathy amongst our community. I think the more a butcherman stands up and tells her story, I believe it's going to create more empathy and understanding. I used to think it was tolerance I was searching for. And I realized we don't need anybody to tolerate anybody. We just need everybody to leave everybody alone, really. You know? So, I mean, the more we talk about these issues, the more we discuss among ourselves, the more we have the courage to step up and show up, the more our society will be able to understand that the rainbow was chosen. And I keep going back to the rainbow, because they could have chosen a blue color, they could have chosen red, they could have chosen purple. They chose a different array of colors, because in our community, there's a whole lot of different array of people and choices and lifestyles.
You know, I do think I agree. I think it's really about standing up tall, increasing visibility.
Yeah.
You think back to the first white man who landed in Africa. I mean, it was a mixture of fear and panic, because he was completely, was completely unfamiliar.
Right.
There was nowhere they could place that. And I think if you speak to, that's the reaction that a lot of butchers and flaming queens get, to use that term. You walk into a heteronormative environment and you're weird, you're strange, and that's the way people view you.
Right.
That attracts the negative attention. I think it's about increasing visibility, but in order to do that, and also increasing visibility within the LGBTQ community. A lot of gay people, I think they can count the number of trans people they know on the, you know, mutilated fingers of one hand. We tend to stay in our own little caucuses. A great example is Fire Island. It is unfathomable that in 2017, you still have a section for the gay men and a section for the gay women. And that is within our community.
Yeah.
So I really think it's about getting to know each other.
I hear you. I think a lot of it has to do with getting to know each other, like you said. And I mean, it basically all boils down to people allowing themselves to be seen. Too many times people are walking, trying to be invisible, trying to not be seen by the straight world, let alone the gay world. The world can be very cruel when you're different. And we all understand that. That's the one thing that we all in the LGBTQ community understand. One of the reasons why I started to allow myself to be seen is because when we were fighting the fight in 2011, 2012, about the law in Nigeria, the 14-year law that makes homosexual act, you know, a crime. What people would always say when I did my posts, when I talked, I did my shows, people would always say, look, we don't know anybody that's homosexual. You're fighting a battle that does not have a face. So the more people, I believe that the more I stood up tall, the more I allowed people to see me, the people started saying, oh, wow. And then more people started to come out. More people started to say, okay, I'm gay. You know, you remember that cousin, that picture of the girl that I went everywhere with? That's my girlfriend. And even in this day and age, like I keep saying, it was in 2017 in the United States of America that allows you to be gay. I mean, you know, in the actual sense of it, be happy just being who you are. There's still a lot of people that are afraid of the backlash, that are afraid of what would happen to them if they come out as being gay. And then when you flip it into our community, we tend to discriminate against ourselves because we're not really happy with ourselves, isn't it? If you think about it, because when a butch steps out and sees another butch loving another butch and they have a problem with it, who do they really have a problem with? I mean, those two people are okay with their lives. It's them. They have a problem within themselves. That's the way I see it. When you see a femme and a femme, we all have a choice or a preference as to who we would like to date. It's like I walk into a Japanese restaurant. I like sushi. You probably like teriyaki. You like things that are cooked. And I like raw food. It doesn't mean that we can't eat in the same restaurant. We just order different things. And that's the way I see this gay world of ours, where we have set all these boundaries and rules that should never even be there. We have told people who they should be instead of allowing them to be who they either want to be or who they were created to be. Until we start to set each other free, as the world sets us free, I don't see how our community is going to become any stronger, because there's really no unity if you look at it. The lesbians have their own little, the gay men have their cliques, the more feminine women have their cliques, everybody has their own little cliques. But yeah, we're trying to all fight a battle. How is that going to work? There's power in numbers. There's a whole lot of power in numbers. And the sad thing is that when I look around me at my gay white friends, I apologize to all the black gay people out there. But there's more discrimination in the gay community than there is in the white community.
More discrimination in the gay community?
In the black gay community.
Okay.
Than there is in the white gay community. Because it seems like white and black people are so hung up on labels, and you can't do this, and you're da, 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 because you're this, you can't do that. And when you're when you step into the white world of gay people, it's just like kumbaya, oh, you're gay, okay. They open their doors, they open their arms, and everybody seems to be okay with everybody, on the superficial level at least, anyway. But then you step into the black gay community, and there seems to be so much going on, so much boundary, so much label, so much, you can't do this, you can't do that. You shouldn't date this or you shouldn't date that. I mean, we fight a battle each day. It's sad that so many of us have to still contend with the limitations that's put on us in our own communities.
You know, I think it's important to recognize that when you're dealing with the black community, you're dealing with a community that already has one strike against them. They're already experienced in the consequences of discrimination.
Yeah.
You have one strike against you, you're kind of reluctant to take on a second strike. So I think that might be bleeding into some of that. But, you know, you touched on something that I think that we need to spend some more time on. I don't know that we'll do this justice if we don't talk about that. We need to talk about the self-hating homosexuals, because they exist. Whether they are out or in the closet, there are definitely self-hating homosexuals. And again, that to me is a different manifestation of homophobia, internalized homophobia. Again, not an issue that we talk about a lot. Society gives off signals. I mean, I can understand how people would feel like that. If everything you see and hear about you is negative, at some point, there is a tendency that you might internalize that. And I think that feeds into some of the, labeling. So if you're able to categorize society, a community, in a way that puts you at the top of the totem pole, yeah, you'll go ahead and do that. It's kind of in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. You don't call everybody visually impaired. Some people are completely blind and some people are like one-eyed men. And I think that's some of what we're seeing, the consequences of internalized homophobia.
Unfortunately, because even though it's 2017, we've had so many years, it's the same thing the black people are going through at the moment, you know, because we've had so many, many years of discrimination. We have been conditioned to feel less even when we step up. Women like me that sit out there each day and say, hey, look at me, I'm gay, and it's okay to be gay, and it's okay because I have children and I have this and I have that. When I shot that, you know, video camera off, and I go into my own little space, I feel some kind of way about having to ask for permission to be who I am. And even though people look and they look at me and think, oh my God, she's so brave, she's so this, it takes a lot each day to walk around in my skin as a Nigerian or as an African woman, knowing fully well that the possibility of getting in trouble if I ever step foot in my home is there. And I live in America. So point I'm trying to make is that when you've been programmed a particular way, certain things go with you until you reprogram yourself. And part of the reprogramming of ourselves is by standing up tall, I think, is by acknowledging the fact that we do have those issues. Because you can't work on something you don't acknowledge. Because when you speak to homosexuals, most people say, oh, no, everything is fine. Everything is wonderful. We're all happy. Everybody's happy. But yeah, most people I know that are gay, they're either traumatized growing up, or they're having issues dealing with who they are. And no matter how a lot of us fake it, at the end of the day, when we're by ourselves, in our own little space, us and the universe, when we sit down, a lot of the issues that we have stems from the way we feel about ourselves. It's either our looks, it's either, you know, our looks, the way we've been treated, the way we've been received. And that sometimes bleeds into the relationship that we have with other LGBT community people. When you speak about people, about femmes that don't want to be seen with butches, it's because of the way society will receive them. So in their own way, even though they don't believe that they're discriminating against butches, they are. And until we start to own our understanding of our community, until we start to own our thoughts, the way we think, and receive each other, I don't see anything changing, really. I mean, we're on this show today. We've blasted it out to how many rooms? We've blasted it out to how many people? We've asked people to call in and join in. I've had people tell me that I'm very shy. I'm sorry I can't come. And I even said, look, you don't have to say your name. All we need people to hear is your experience, so that they can feel what you feel. Because when people share their stories, it becomes real, as opposed to what you read on the internet, in newspapers, or you see on the radio. I mean, you hear on the radio and see on the TV. When a voice is telling me, oh boy, I stepped on a glass, and this is what it felt like, you know, when the glass pierced through my skin, and I was, it's a whole different story from when I'm narrating it. So when people start to hear from each other and open, and we have all had the courage, or some of us have the courage, to go out there and really speak our truth, I don't see things change. I really don't. Because we all say we want change, but what are we doing to change this thing? That's the question for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a challenge, because whether we like it or not, it's a heteronormative world, right? And I don't see that changing anytime soon. I do think, though, that I like to place the accountability not on the heterosexuals to drive that change, but on the LGBTQ community to drive that change. You know, the LGBTQ community has evolved. You have gay men and gay women having children.
Yes.
And yet, even within their home, they still create a heteronormative environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to find, you know, two gay men, you know, maybe their kid comes back from school, is looking a bit giddy, it's a boy, and their first question is, oh, have you met a girl?
Mm.
There is always the assumption that it drives, you know, that we are in a heteronormative world. And I think that for as long as that construct remains, we're always going to run into this sort of discrimination. If even within the LGBTQ community, we are not trying to create a world that is, you know, that doesn't really, is not defined by sexuality. If within the LGBT community, we are putting together quote unquote families and still living within a heteronormative construct, then I think that to me says a lot about how we feel within about ourselves. And we can't possibly feel very good about ourselves if we do that.
I hear you, Coco. But we can't. We're not going to be changing the world today in 1 hour when nobody else wants to come out and talk about their stories. But I think the more we think about this thing, really, we realize that we don't really have any role models. This is the first, I think, decade that 2003, I think Brazil, you said, you know, allowed the
legalized
same-sex marriage. So if you take it from 2003, how many years is that? I mean, you know, yes, in America 5 years ago, it became to have same-sex marriage, but we don't have role models. We don't have anybody to say, oh, this is how they did it. That's how they did it. So of course, we're forging our own path in this crazy jungle called the world that we live in. So, once again, unless we start to open a window into our lives so that we see how things are done and how it's being done here, so you can choose how you want to do it, it's going to continue to be this way. We have to be brave to open a window into our lives as a Q community for others to see, for others to be able to see how we live. And that's for me, that's like the biggest movement for me at the moment. Because when you talk to hush hush, a lot of friends that have children, and the only thing, the only blueprint they have to go off of is how the heteros did it, how their mothers did this, how their fathers did it. I'm married to a woman. My father had 12 wives. I cannot compare my life at the moment to my dad. There are basic principles that I can draw from. But a woman-to-woman relationship is totally different from a man-to-woman relationship. And it's sad how a lot of us, including me, in the very beginning, the only way I knew how to deal with things was the way it was done in the hetero world. You know, it's painful, but we are laying the foundation for the generations to come. And if we don't catch ourselves at the moment, it's just going to get worse. So it is. It's just going to get worse.
You've touched on a very sensitive issue there. You know, when you talk about a lot of LGBTQ families, they use a heterosexual family as a point of reference. And when you then think about members of the LGBTQ that don't fit into that construct,
mm-hmm.
See, those are the sort of, it's those paradigms that I think drive the divisions. If you have two gay men in a relationship, they're using their heterosexual family knowledge as a point of reference.
That?
All you've done now, you have likened the femme man in that relationship to a woman. You have two lesbian women in the relationship and you're using a heterosexual relationship. You view your partner as a man.
Yeah.
And those are the sort of things that drive differences. And I think that's why it's important, to your point, for us to sit around and have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first question is, does one really need a point of reference as to how to relate within that environment? Maybe we do and maybe we don't. But I think, again, to my point, is that it's easy to point the finger at someone else, but we internally sometimes do more damage than anyone on the outside.
Very true. I believe that as well. I really, truly believe that as well, because most of the hate that I have received as a femme woman, you know, there's a different type of hate when people are bashing you because you're sexual. The most pain I have suffered has come from the gay community. You know, it's on a very different level. The most hate I have received has come from the gay community. I remember being in a room called I forget the name of it. I can't even remember. It's all way gone. Things happened to me and I just from my memory. But I'm in a room of all lesbian women, because of the way I speak and the way I write and the way I am. You know, I was laughed at. I was made fun of. And because I'd had women like me that were in the past, I looked down on women like me that had children that thought they were doing what society expected of them, instead of us being commended as having the courage to step out of what the world, or people, the norm. We are bashed for having been in a heterosexual relationship. We are considered, you know, to flip. It's just crazy. The discrimination that's against, let's say, bisexual people as well. That is a whole other concept, a whole other ballgame on its own. I once had a person tell me, oh, I'll date a woman that has children. It's a matter of preference, but it's the way the messages are delivered that's, you know, like I said, we all have our own experiences. We all have things we want. We all have things that we will accept or not accept. But as a community, it's time that we start to come together, and I will say that. Because, look, and I'm not pleading in case of women that thought, because my pastor's in my old church, and she's as butch as they come. There's no way you could look at this woman and not know that even in a dress looks like a drag queen. And it doesn't mean that she's a, I know a lot of women that are very masculine looking, but they're not gay. They're not gay. In this particular case, there's no way you could look at my old pastor and not realize that she is. but she had a husband before. You know, and when people talk, they're like, oh, she doesn't understand because she used to be married to a man. We as people have to start to come together and understand that everybody's journey is different. Everybody's walk is different. Even the people that are in the basement or the closet, their walk and path is different. But should we now say everything is their fault or not their fault? They're not ready yet. Come out. Should we shove them out of the closet? No. I think there's more power in the people that choose to come out because they are stronger than people that get shoved out of the closet. We have so many rules and regulations that we created on our own as a community. We have so many boundaries and barriers that we've got, boxes that we put people into, that it's going to take a while. It really will. It's going to take a while. But unless we continue to have conversations like this, unless we have continue to have small groups together and just share stories and have conversations about our pain, about our walk, about where we see ourselves in 5 years, where we see this community in 10 years, I don't think things will change. Unless we start to custom make our relationships. I'm sorry. Unless we start to custom make our relationships and stop comparing ourselves to this person or this group of people or that group of people, because even the hetero world, every relationship is different. Every path is different. Some people have thorns in their way. Some people have stepkids. Some people have no kids. Some people have stepmom, you know, whatever issues they have. They have mother-in-laws. Every issue is going to be different from the other unless we in the LGBT community start to create our own steps. Love ships, child ships, church ships, business ships, work ships. I don't see us going to where we need to go.
I mean, I must say I agree with you. I think from my standpoint, you know, finally, for me, it's about honesty, it's about transparency, it's about accountability. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it's about, you know, the truth, being able to speak the truth within the community, and most importantly, as you said, in our quiet moments, being able to speak the truth to ourselves.
Exactly. Well, 201-8065, would you like to join us? We've got 3 minutes left. You don't have to say your name. Can you at least give us a feedback of what you think of the conversation?
I will say to 201, thank you for joining us. It does take a lot of courage, and I appreciate, we appreciate that.
Well, this is Mojisola Percy coming to you from the Real Love Lives, and I'm sitting here with Coco, my co-host. I am asking you to tune into this show, continue to have conversations between you and your friends, talk about our issues in the LGBT community, share your stories with people, and if there's a topic ever that you'd like us to have on the Real LGBT Lives, please send us an email to the African LGBT LGBTQ at gmail.com. I'm going to let Coco sign us out.
Moji, it's been I think it's been a great pleasure, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk about this. And I hope that others who hear this message will not just listen to it, but will identify with it and take it forward. Once again, thank you everyone for joining us, and until next time, as we say.
Cheers,